Hi, this is Melisha Griffin from Intimate Spaces Beyond the Blog. But you knew that already because you're listening to it. But what you didn't know is that I am also a published poet. If you go to Amazon.com right now, you can check out both my collections of poetry. The first one is The Second Decade, Tales of an Adult-like Woman, and the second one is Where is the Yellow Butterfly? So be sure to go and check them out. Bye!
Welcome back to Intimate Spaces. I'm Alicia Griffin.
And I'm Devin Nance.
This is Intimate Spaces.
Why did you say it like that? Like your name, you sounded confused. I'm screaming. That's funny. Oh my god. And we're back.
We're back. We're here.
Yay. Woo. This is going to be the Weird Voice episode because Alicia is also eating.
I am.
So if some of the stuff she says isn't clear or she accidentally chokes and dies on a piece of food, you know why?
I'm hungry.
Lord Jesus. Okay, so.
Oh, damn.
What?
Because of what we're talking about.
Well, you did it.
Appetite. Not lies because I'm hungry.
I'm about to say, you did it. But still. You're the one that said you wanted food. So. Yeah.
I'm eating chicken, guys. And rice and cheese and broccoli. What?
The face you made after you said it. Like, I'm entertained.
I just want people to know I'm not eating people.
That's. Well, okay, good job. And also, if that doesn't give you a clue what we're talking about, nothing will, honestly.
All right.
That was pretty big.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about Jeffrey Dahmer! Specifically, the docuseries on Netflix that was dropped. And, yeah, has taken the world by storm, apparently.
No, seriously.
Yeah, no. It's, what, it's still top 10 right now, I think.
It's actually a little unfortunate because, you know, he is a monster, so there's that.
He is a monster, but many people have been fascinated for a long time about...
Mm-hmm.
They've been fascinated by serial killers. True crime is a thing that's a huge part of a lot of industries and segments and factions right now. So, you know, people watch true crime documentaries, so obviously people are going to jump on this docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's also... especially because, oh my god, Ryan Murphy, I want to say produced and directed, the one who's responsible for American Horror Story.
Yes, it's him. Yep. And so, speaking of American Horror Story, it also stars Evan Peters.
Yes, who is a cast member, like, regular cast member of American Horror Story since the beginning. And we all know
He plays a million serial killers in the show.
He plays all kinds of stuff. And we all know American Horror Story, you know, covers disturbing content. So
he is becoming known as, like, the actor serial killer.
Basically. Because Evan Peters, he creepily morphs into his roles. But he's also, like, Sarah Paulson. Another AHS regular. She does the same shit. She morphs into the roles that she plays. And it's really freaking creepy how good she is at it. But I digress. Okay, so we're talking about Dahmer. Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. It is a docuseries on Netflix. I think it's like 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's 10.
It's 10 episodes. Okay, I thought it was more. Niecy Nash is in it. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, it's... I don't even know where to start. So, let's back up a little bit. I feel like if you haven't watched it, you have heard very generally about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Dahmer... for all intents and purposes, was a cannibal. He was known as the Milwaukee cannibal. He was a serial killer who targeted gay men, black men, and men of color. He operated out of his home in not a great neighborhood, and it was found that he did it on purpose, even though early in, like, his crimes or whatever, when he first kind of got caught, or when the police would ask him, you know, like, why do you live here? He's like, it's cheap. But come to find out, it was literally because you know, he was able to target these populations, and, you know, nobody would really do anything about it because of the time period, because of, you know, how people felt about gay men, and, right, like, how society felt about gay men in general.
At the time.
At the time, it was just... And we're gonna get into that part in a little, but basically, serial killer, he ate his victims. He ate his victims. He would lure them back to his home with essentially promises of money, which also kind of correlates to the area that he was in. Because, mm-hmm, you know, he'd be like, oh, I'll take some pictures, $50. And it's like, you know, if he was dealing with, like, someone who ran away or someone who couldn't really get work because of their sexual identity or sexual preference, that would be kind of a thing. Like, oh, this isn't so bad. This dude's kind of weird, but, you know, $50 is $50. And then once he got them back to his house, he would drug them and basically hold them hostage. Because at that point, you know, they could fight, but what could they do? Except one of his last potential victims did actually escape, and that's how he ended up getting caught. Because the, mm-hmm, police basically went into his house and found the pictures that he took.
He took Polaroids of dismembered bodies.
Yeah, and one of the cops was like, oh shit, this is real. And it turned into uncovering a very horrifying series of events.
Yes, they ended up opening the refrigerator.
Literally and figuratively, like... They opened the refrigerator, but also... And then it just kind of came out that, like, the neighbors and literally everybody had been kind of talking about, like, weird smells and sounds coming from his apartment. But
neighbors have been calling the police repeatedly.
Neighbors have been reporting things, following up, but nothing had been done. Because...
The police even gave one of his victims back to him.
Yes.
A 14-year-old Asian boy.
Yes. Yes.
Who escaped... But was returned to Jeffrey Dahmer, and then he ate him. So,
over the protest of one of his neighbors, and I think like her kids and her friend, like her kids' friends. So, it's a horrifying story. Mm-hmm. I guess the first part of the series goes into, like, it starts backwards. So it starts with like a little background about his last victim, like potential victim, mm-hmm, and how like he ended up getting caught. And then it goes backwards to childhood. You basically see signs that, like, if you're into true crime or you've ever studied any type of terminology, where this could be a problem because certain things irritate the mess out of Jeffrey. And he's very, like, not a fan of animals, uses them as experiments. He's very into taxidermy. He does that type of stuff with his dad. His family is a mess. Hot mess. Like, his mom hated being pregnant, his dad was cheating, all of the above. You know, nobody was really around, but he really wanted to be, like, a good boy and wanted to be accepted, and he was trying to figure out where everybody left him, because his dad was always away for work/whatever. Mm-hmm. And people thought he was weird, but he kept it in because he wanted to be accepted. And he was gay and didn't know how to handle that either, because he lived in a time where it was just like, you know, he told his grandma and she was like, we can take you to church and fix that. And he was just like, okay. And she was just like, great. And then they never talked about it again.
Yeah.
So, a lot of issues. Running rampant. I don't know if that was a good synopsis. It's kind of all over the place. So.
Yeah. I think toward the end they start showing each victim one by one, though, right?
Yes, they start showing each victim one by one, and they also start talking about, like, they go deeper into, like, the neighbor, mm-hmm, and, like, how she was really trying to, like, draw attention to this. Like, and how long it took, because there were several phone calls, several people, and once he was finally caught and, like, taken out of the building, like, you hear the neighbors in the background, like, we've been telling you about this. Like, we knew it wasn't just rotten meat that his family had sent him, because he likes to make meat, like beef stew, and like his fridge broke kind of situation. Mm-hmm. That's what he kept telling people, because over a period of time everybody was like, it stinks in here.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, my family sent me some meat, I like to make stew, my fridge broke, okay, bye. And then that would just be the end of that.
Yeah. So I think I have not watched it because stuff like this freaks me out. But from what I've seen from other people, is that there are plenty of Jeffrey Dahmer documentaries and docuseries and things.
Yes.
That are very, like, specific into the... This is part of the reason why this is apparently so controversial. Mm-hmm. Is because a lot of it sticks to, like, these are the facts, this is what happened.
Yep.
X, Y, Z, then he was caught. Right. Mm-hmm. Apparently this one's really controversial because it's a reenactment.
Very meta.
And a lot of the people who are in the film are real people who are still alive, who were not, told that they would be
reenacted.
Yes.
Yep.
Now that's the controversy. That's my issue with it with Netflix, but that's a whole nother can of worms.
I guess my issue with it is, like, I feel like we should get the background, but I feel like, you know, there are a lot of, because, you know, he's on record talking about his life, but I feel like there were a lot of creative liberties taken. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, nothing I've ever watched has gotten that in-depth about, like, his entire life.
Yeah.
To the point where he's, like, went to the military, got kicked out of school.
Yeah, and I knew all that stuff from his wiki page, but
yeah,
it was,
I did,
like...
too. But it was very, like, dramatic. It was very... dramatized in the series.
And I think that's part of the problem is that it became, like, entertainment.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be entertainment.
Because, I can,
like,
see that.
These are actual, like... people's brothers and sisters and children and neighbors are still alive today.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to watch this movie? Like, no. So I think that's where I got... Now, where I think a lot of people say that this has benefited the Jeffrey Dahmer story is because they put a lot of emphasis on the ways in which race and privilege played a part in his ability to get away with things. Which
they
no other documentary
did.
Has really talked about that.
No, they definitely did do that. And they
I
also-
think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because he actually really sucked as a murderer. Like, he was really bad at it.
He was not good at it at all.
Like...
to the point where he was just...
Had you lived in a nice apartment with nice white people, they would have caught you.
Immediately. Because, like, he's just very weak. He was in a very childlike state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very afraid of abandonment. Very much, like, I just want to hang out. Let's watch a movie. Kind of weird, but, like, not great in these social situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally, he's not huge at all.
Right. That's the other thing. I'm like, he used sleeping pills to drug people, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that's not, don't get me wrong. Yeah, they fell asleep and he was able to do what he needed to do, but what if he, like, took too long and woke back up? It's like sleeping pills don't knock you out for very long. And
sleeping pills don't knock you out that fast either.
Yeah. And any of those people could have easily kicked his ass, I think.
Basically.
Had they been forewarned of what was going on.
I think also the issue was that, like, you know, they there was also kind of that situation.
Oh, definitely. I think he picked the most marginalized group of people.
He did.
Because to be gay during that time, but then to be black and gay? Well, yeah, black people still got a problem with gay people in our community today.
Basically.
So.
Well, and he never got to be like, I'm gay, this is how I am. It was literally just, he didn't know what to do with it.
Ouch. Sorry, y'all, I just put my hair.
I'm like, hey, what are you going through? So, yeah, he didn't know, he never got to be like, I'm gay. And it was like, oh, like, you know, just like, what we would think of as kind of like a, that's okay, that's who you are. It was like, we're gonna pray it away with the father who would never leave you because your father left you and so did your mom. Okay, let's go to church type situation.
And I think we could really go really deep into talking about Jeffrey Dahmer and all his issues, and I think that that's a conversation for another day. Yeah, because I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, and I'm already like preparing myself mentally for Monday to see all these Jeffrey Dahmer costumes, which it's not a costume. Should I dress up as Jeffrey Dahmer? If you were thinking about it, don't do it. Like, we don't know. These people are still alive. These people's family members are still alive. It's like, it's just, it's super insensitive. But anyway, not the point. The point is, I think part of what I really am interested in is just like a conversation around One thing I said when the movie first came out, or the docuseries first came out, was like, a lot of people talk about, oh, we need to know these things because it's our history, and so history doesn't repeat itself. But I started thinking to myself, like, history could easily repeat itself.
Yeah.
And that's the part we need to focus on, if we're going to focus on anything, is the fact that race and privilege are still very much an issue, to where if a white gay man, and I'm like, and I get the intersections of oppression and privilege, to be gay is to be oppressed, but we all know that ultimately the best privilege card is to be white. So as long as you have that, when you got a one up on most people.
Yeah.
But a white gay man versus a black anybody is gonna win. And that hasn't changed. You're gonna have to work a little harder, but if someone wanted to prey on marginalized communities of color today and get away with it, they could. If they're white. If they're a white man. Gay or not.
Basically.
And I think that is the conversation that needs to be had. Is that we clearly have not learned that lesson.
No.
And another thing for this show that we really want to talk about was just, like, the ways in which we consume black bodies. And I know that sounds disgusting. Because he legitimately ate people.
Yep.
But there's something there, I think, about larger society. Because part of what Jeffrey Dahmer chose, he said he chose black people because, you know, the police wouldn't come, you know, he chose that neighborhood because police wouldn't go to that neighborhood. He chose a marginalized group of people because they wouldn't be missed, nobody would believe them. But also, he said that he thought that black people were beautiful, that they had the best bodies, the best physiques, the best shapes, and he wanted to make a sex zombie.
He did. That would never leave him.
Yes. And so, there's also this, like, not only was it around privilege and race and all of that, but also around this, like, fetishism of black bodies, which, how often does that happen in American society? To the point that people eat us? I think he might, well, I don't know. He's the only one I know of. But this, like, idea of wanting to own and consume. You alright?
No.
Oh my god. You need a cough drop?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to show some of that. Hold up. Just keep going. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be in the background.
I'm trying to let you have your moment.
No, no. Keep
going. Like, I'm about to start coughing now. I was like, is it contagious?
No. I mean, look. I told you I have a cold. I told you that before, okay? I'm trying my best. I stopped coughing in the car.
Okay.
So.
What was I saying?
I don't even know. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know too many people who have, like, literally consumed black bodies like Jeffrey Dahmer has.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to be said about, like, consuming black bodies and black features, metaphorically, within the society. It happens all the time. And I think that's a good time to take a break because, you know, also help you get maybe some water or something.
Yeah, I'm okay.
We're going to take a break anyway.
Yeah.
But we'll be back to kind of finish those thoughts, go deeper into that there.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, this is Devin Nance. You may know me as the co-host of Intimate Spaces Beyond the Blog, but I'm here to tell you all about my podcast, This Black Girl, a weekly podcast all about topics from the perspective of, you guessed it, this black girl. Like I said, join me on a weekly basis wherever you listen to podcasts, and let's just have a conversation. Let's talk about any and everything and its impact on me from the perspective of, one more time, this black girl. And don't forget to subscribe for weekly notifications about new episodes, rate and review, leave a comment, leave your feedback. Love to hear from you. And let's just have some fun. So once again, tune in to This Black Girl, a weekly podcast all about
topics from the perspective of this Black girl. Trust me, she has a lot to say. Bye, y'all.
And we're back. All right. Okay. It was good with the sound effects, and then it wasn't.
Sorry.
Are you?
No.
I know you're not.
No.
What are you going through?
I don't know.
What is happening next to me right now?
Just trying out different noises, seeing how they work out.
To what end?
To see. What, the end of what?
I'm just saying, to what end? What's the purpose?
To, you know, so we can get ready for our, whatchamacallit.
For what? Soundboard we're never gonna get?
We're gonna get a soundboard. Did y'all hear that sound? That was my computer. We're gonna add that too.
What? The email tone? Or the notification tone?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway.
You've been notified.
You sound like a balloon deflating. Anyway.
Right, we have a point.
We're back. That's what I said.
Yep, we have a point. We have a point. We're back to what we were talking about. Sorry, y'all. No. But yeah, so back to our point. Our whole point.
Take a shot every time she says point. I'm just kidding.
Listen, we're trying to be serious. It's been like a minute and a half of bullshit.
Okay, anyway.
Okay. So, for any of you that missed the first half of the show, I don't know how that's possible.
Or if you got confused in this 2-minute tangent we're on right now.
Right. We were talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, the new series that's on Netflix. Very controversial. And we were talking about, you know, his fetishism of Black bodies and the ways in which, like, you know, moving away from Jeffrey Dahmer in general. Because we don't want to give him too much attention. Like, he did a vow thing, awful thing. And there are family members who are still alive and dealing with the trauma that is. Mm-hmm. What we do want to focus on, though, is the idea of the consumption of Black bodies. That's how we ended. That's what we were talking about.
Yes.
Really, I think media does it. That's probably the biggest one.
Media, celebrities.
Celebrities do it. But just this idea of, like, consuming Black bodies with Black features and, like, fetishizing us. And I was like, we could just name all the ways. Well, if we try to name all the ways, this would be one long-ass episode.
I'm about to say, y'all be here for 3 hours. Like, why are we still... We done went on a whole
road
trip.
We're still naming the ways.
We done went on a whole road... We done went to Nashville, and they're still talking. Send help. Yes. So we're not going to do that to you. But y'all know what we talking about.
Yes.
They love our culture, and it's fun until it's time to actually be Black.
I think the biggest thing is we talk about, like, the fetishism. So, like we said, Jeffrey Dahmer was really interested in Black men because he thought they were beautiful. He thought they were, like, the best-looking men. And I'm like, this is really not an uncommon...
At all.
...idea about Black men.
No.
I mean, they don't usually get eaten, but...
I mean, it goes back to...
I mean, if you think about, like, white women and this, like, fetishism of, like, Black penises.
That's what literally I was about to say. If it goes back to, you know...
The Mandingo.
The Mandingo and, like, the women, the slave owners'
wives.
There's
actually an article. There's actually an article that I read for school that just made... Because you said Mandingo, so made me think of it. There's an article that I read for school about gay men in bars. And it was related to sexual scripts theory.
Didn't you send me this article? Maybe. I feel like you made me read this article.
Maybe.
You probably did.
We're all about to get nerded out here. What is sexual scripts theory, Malisha? I'm telling you. So sexual scripts theory is the idea that we as individuals follow a certain script, if you will, a certain, like if you were in a movie, that tells people who we are sexually and how we wish to be desired, I guess. It's the best way I can explain it.
Interesting.
And so maybe I should give you all an official definition. That might be helpful. But it was, yeah, it comes from symbolic interactionism. Do y'all know what that is?
No.
It is, that comes from sociology, which basically says that, like, symbols are very meaningful to our society. And we interact with them in certain ways to determine meaning and value and things like that. But yeah, but basically that we have sexual scripts are inherently embedded in a cultural context in which cultural norms provide guidelines for appropriate behaviors, emotions, and cognitions for people in sexual experiences. So basically, we all have a script that we have to play out in order to have interactions with one another sexually. So Devin is a straight black woman, and that's a particular sexual script that she has to portray in order to get the desired outcome she wants, which is probably a straight black man.
Well, yeah.
I guess if she wanted a straight white man, her script would be slightly different.
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth. Well, apparently, this gay bar was like sexual scripts for black men is to be very, is their tops.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Very aggressive, very, like, I got a big dick kind of mentality. And that's what straight, that's what gay white men are looking for when they are looking for gay black men in bars. And I'm like, ain't that some shit? Because, like,
that sounds just like, blech. I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
So that the Mandingo, basically, they want the Mandingo. Yeah, yeah, I know.
I just find it interesting that like other races are very fixated on the fact that like, especially with black men, it's like, everything has to be bigger. You have to have a bigger personality. You have to have a bigger, like, penis. You gotta have big feet, hands. You gotta be tall, like.
Yeah, no. And they love all that shit. Like, they fetishize it. They want it. Like, it turns them on. But at the same time, they're scared of it. Like, the idea is this tall black man
tall, walking
next
water.
To you at nighttime.
But it's also threatening.
Scares you.
It's sexy and threatening all at once.
It's strange.
You gotta pick your lane, bro. You can't want all of it and then be scared of it. You gotta do all the... You gotta shut up.
Or like, if they walk past your car at night, you're gonna lock the door.
Or the old women who grip their purses tighter.
But you know you won't... You know you won't derail to bang it, bang them walls in.
Not derail.
So quit playing with him.
I mean, you know, that's what we
see. He a whole doctor.
We've seen that played out in college.
Yeah.
Them cheerleaders loved them football players. Loved them. Sorry. Wow. I didn't think that was going to come out the way it did. Oh, well. I'm not sorry. Let's continue.
But yeah. So, yeah. We do it to black women. Y'all know I go back to my girl, Sarah Bartman. Hot and tight Venus. Okay. Like, she wanted to display for her big boobs and her big butt. And, you know, we could talk about the history of black women and being raped by slave masters and overseers.
Oh, my God.
And we'll just go down a very depressing rabbit hole with that.
Slave masters, presidents, overseers, you know, the usual.
Mm-hmm. So.
Ouch. So, yeah, it's been a thing. Unfortunately, it would probably still be a thing as far as the fetishism.
It's a hard word to say.
It is. I couldn't figure it out for a second. My tongue was like, and we're not going to do that today.
Fetishism.
But the fetishizing of
yes.
black culture is still very predominant, which... Let's all call a spade and find it very interesting that the family that basically became celebrities for fetishizing black culture is now looking very not that anymore. Have we noticed that?
Who?
The Kardashians. Have you seen them lately?
No,
they're not as curvy or anything anymore.
Really?
They're all very toned. They look like socialite white moms.
No, I'm about to look them up right now.
After I like Kim looks totally different now.
Hold on,
Courtney. Like if you look at them on like Instagram and stuff, they look super different. Like, hold on.
Why that picture so small?
Because it's a cover. But, like, look at them. I feel like they look very different. Don't they?
They look very different. And she don't even have no butt no more.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even, hold on. I'm going to get on Instagram because I literally just saw this. Like, Kim doesn't look the same. Chloe or Courtney or what is it? None of them look the same. Even whoever just got married, I can't remember. There's too many K's in my life. In that
Courtney?
World. Yeah, like. Hold on. Like, look. Look how skinny she looks now. They do not look the same. And I just find it interesting because they're the family that, like, that was a whole thing for them, right? And now all of a sudden, like, they don't want that. They want to look different. Like, I mean, she still has a butt, but it looks like her thighs and stuff are gone. Like, it looks way more natural.
Yeah.
I just find that very interesting because they were the family that did that. Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've all done it. Like, Chloe, Kim, Courtney, all of them. So, like, it's just interesting to me, like, that it was super fetishized, and now it's kind of like...
Girl, I'm going down a rabbit hole looking at their pictures.
It's different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Kendall looked like her. Maybe she didn't. Anyway.
Yeah, like, skinny. No curves. Nothing.
And she used to be the thickest one in Chloe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's wild. Okay, not to give them too much... any type of time because they actually all irritate them.
They're the look, they're a perfect example of, so not only are we talking about fetishism, but just when we talk about consuming black features, the Kardashians take the cake. I mean, you think about hairstyles, lip injections, butt implants, breast implants,
all of it,
tanning,
all of it. And now they've gone totally different.
But it's like, how many people were like, the Kardashians look so good. I want Kylie Jenner's lips. But did you want Lil Tarisha's lips in the seventh grade when you was calling her a big old monkey or a fish or whatever you was calling her?
Exactly.
Like, stop it. That's what I mean when I talk about the consumption of black bodies. Like,
exactly.
White women get praised and black women are vilified.
Like, now you married to a rock star, you look like that.
That's weird.
Right? Wild. Anyway. But I just thought that was a really good example because we were talking about media and like celebrities and stuff. Great example. Yeah.
So. But yeah, we're just. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what has to be done to stop that shit from happening, but it irks me to my core.
100%.
Like. What were they calling them? The little boxer braids? Like,
oh my god, I hated those things.
Just stuff like that. Stuff like that is
boxer
like,
braids, dreads, the whole fashion show situation with bantu knots, like all of that.
I just... Can we have our own shit?
No.
Can we have our own shit?
No, because it's ghetto until it's not.
Lord... Oh, I have a shirt that says that.
I know, that's why I said it.
What did it say? Ghetto. Ghetto is just creativity that hasn't been stolen yet.
Something. It's orange. That's all I got.
Yep. And that, if that ain't the truth, tell the... Woo, child.
I mean, basically, because it's like, oh, you put it, you know, you see it on... you see it in on city streets, and it's like, oh, that's kind of ghetto. You see it on a fashion runway. Oh, that's couture.
Bitch, spell couture.
Or high fashion. High fashion. Like, we could literally do this for days, you guys.
No, seriously.
Because.
I have more things popping into my head, but I just.
I mean, you have more things popping into your head, and just from a marketing media standpoint, it's like, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the media that does it, and I think.
It's wild.
It's wild.
It's insane.
The ways in which we can literally talk about, you know, and I, it's crazy that Jeffrey Dahmer made me think of this, though. But, I mean, he was literally consuming bodies, and I'm like, you know what? White America, you might not have killed us, but you killed us, okay?
You
killed the culture, okay?
Basically.
You might not have ate us, but you ate the culture up. Now it's gone.
Basically.
Because we can't have shit. Okay, no. You Jeffrey Dahmered us.
Well. Essentially.
That felt insensitive to the people. Again, this is not, we're not trying, I'm not trying to be like insensitive to the victim's families, because that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. If you haven't seen the show, I don't recommend it. No.
Okay.
I can't say. I didn't watch it. I just.
I'm not here to say watch it or don't watch it.
Yeah. It is a lot. I think it's a lot. I think if you don't know a lot about who Jeffrey Dahmer is, it'll probably stress you out.
It will definitely stress you out if you have not, you don't even really know what's up.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know anything about him, it will definitely stress you out.
So there's that. I think that if the takeaway from this particular episode, though, is not to watch Jeffrey Dahmer or not watch Jeffrey Dahmer or think about him or learn about him, but just to really, like, think deeply about what we do to black people.
And culture.
Especially when we talk about our bodies and our culture, because who chat?
Yeah. All of the things.
But. I guess we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
Add that one to the
weird ass sound noise. Weird ass soundboard? Okay.
Well, real quick, we're really close to November 4th, which is our 1-year anniversary business shower. So please, if you're in the Louisville area, get on Eventbrite. Look up the Business Shower Networking and Fundraising event by Intimate Spaces and buy a ticket. You get dinner, you get one free drink, you get access to the cash bar, access to the silent action. There's gonna be music, there's gonna be people, there's gonna be dessert. It's gonna be so much fun. After 5 attire, so you're gonna be looking real spiffy like. Take all those nice pictures and stuff. Look like you really are that guy, that girl, that person. So, yeah. Please, please, please buy tickets, guys and girls and peoples.
Yay.
Really appreciate it.
Yep.
Is that it?
I don't know.
I feel like that's all.
That's all I have right now.
We'll holler at y'all later.
Yay!
Bye!